Amen. You may have your seats. You're like, when do I sit down? When he says amen. Glory. Amen. So this week, Andrea, if you can get Mark 8:34 and then Mark 8:35. Valerie, if you can get Acts 12:2, Mark, Luke 9:23. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for volunteering this morning. Sam, if you can get 1 Corinthians 15:31. Maribel, 2 Corinthians 4:10-11. And then the last one, John, if you can get Philippians 3:8 and verse 10. So this will be the last one that we will do on the hard sayings of Jesus. How many have enjoyed the, how many know that it is difficult sometimes to understand why he said this? But everything that he said it for a purpose. You know, last week, turning the cheek, right? Where on this one, and then on the backside, it would be a backhanded. How many know that nobody wants to get backhanded? Nobody wants to get slapped on the first hand, amen? But to be able to get backhanded, bah, it was a shameful. It was shame. It was there to instill not only shame, but pain. And Jesus did not come. Listen, he didn't come and say, okay, if somebody does that to you for the purpose of your abuse, go ahead and turn the other cheek. No, there was a whole different meaning and a whole thing behind it, because Jesus did not come for you to be abused. How many know that? He didn't. So he didn't come and say, hey, listen, just go over there and be a public spectacle. But it's the way our heart has changed. We're not going to retaliate, right? We're not going to do different things that the world would normally do. So this one is taking up the cross. Mark 8:34.
And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me.
See, today we have the lethal injection. I didn't know that. I didn't know until just recently that there are some states that have a firing squad. Some states still have the electric chair. This is capital punishment for something that we have done. It might be read as so, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him or her be led out to a public execution following my example. Who wants to volunteer? No volunteers? Jesus said, this is going to be what's going to happen. And what did Peter say immediately after he told the disciples? Not so, Lord, right? Go ahead and read 8:35.
For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.
We're going to go next, right? See, this is Jesus telling his disciples, do you still want to follow me? Do you still want to confess me? Do you still want to acknowledge me as the Messiah? If so, you need to clearly realize where I am going and understand that by following me, this might be something that could possibly happen to you. The Son of Man is going to suffer. He's trying to tell them, are you prepared to suffer with me? The Son of Man was going to face a possibility of a violent death. What if that death would be on the cross? Are you prepared for it? See, public crucifixions were done during the Roman occupation. The one being punished would have to carry the crossbeam or the patibulum of the cross as he went to his death. Jesus was trying to tell them that if they were not prepared for that outcome, this was the time for them to walk away. When Jesus was crossing, was taking the crossbeam, they would put that and then they would join that to the pole itself. Acts 12:2.
He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword.
James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Not for anything else, but to follow Jesus. Simon, we know that history tells us that they tried to put him on the cross. And he said, I cannot die. So what he did is he died upside down. Luke 9:23.
And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
He's trying to tell us that every single day, folks, we have to die to ourselves. Because can I tell you, every single day, this man, the you, has to die in order to live. First Corinthians 15:31.
I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Every day, Paul says, this is what I face. See, Paul writes, I die every day, meaning I am exposed to death daily. In Deuteronomy 21:23, it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Anyone executed and displayed on a tree or pole was considered under a divine judgment and a shame. Listen, and a shame to the land. Under the Mosaic law, this describes a person executed for a severe sin. To avoid defiling the land, the body had to be buried that same day, as a hanged body was considered cursed by God. Galatians 3:13, Paul argues that Jesus took that curse now upon himself. It was a curse that was deserved, not for him, but for us. By dying on the cross, he took the curse on himself. Jesus, who was innocent, took this curse upon himself. And you and I, because of that, are saved or redeemed from that curse. That's what Jesus did, folks, when he took the cross for you and I. The redemption came as the original tree, the fall of man, to the tree of salvation upon the cross. How many know that that's an amazing work that Jesus did for you and I? 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11.
Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, excuse me, also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Amen. And Philippians 3, verse 8 and verse 10.
Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death.
So denying oneself is not giving up something as much as we might think. It is saying no to oneself. No to your plans. No to your own hopes. No to your ambitions. No to your likes or dislikes. No to your nearest and your dearest for the sake of Christ. Can we die to ourselves? Can we take up that cross? See, when we take up the cross, something inside has to die. Any comments, questions, concerns? Anything? Mark, you got a question? Oh, you got a comment? Anybody? Amen. I was waiting for you guys to say something. That was my point, where you guys had to say something. As it was for the first disciples, folks, it's got to be for you and I. You know, I'm looking at that car outside, and I'm like, man, I don't know when that car is going to die. and I want a new car. I told my wife, if she buys another dress, I'm buying a car. That's going to be a good trade. She buys the dress, I buy a car. I'm like, it's only going to be one car in my garage, and there in my driveway. You got and of dresses. I said, it'll equal out. But how many know that I have to say no? Amen? I have to continually say no. I can easily go down to the nearest car dealer and say, and I know that this is a far-fetched because, but I'm bringing an example. I'm like, I can easily paint that car and it can be, well, not brand new. It's got 218,000 miles. But how many know that I have to continually say no to everything that I want? That doesn't only go for that, but to many other things, folks. Jesse?
I had recently ran into an issue where I was trying to help someone out, and they have no stewardship at all. So their thought is, I want nice things, so I'm going to just get it. And it didn't matter if they were going to put themselves in a bind, if they were going to completely put themselves in debt. They just think that those material things for them and their family make them happy, and that there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm like, that's crazy. Yes, it's okay to have nice things, but I'm not going to go out right now and buy me a Lexus right now. Because, you know, I'm paying on another truck right now. So why would I do that? Yeah, would I like another? Yeah, I would like that. But I'm going to tell myself, no, this is not right. You know, his mindset was completely off when it came to that. And everything that he did, he had no stewardship of. It was just completely wasteful in everything that he did. Just, I don't pay for it, so I'm just going to just blow through everything.
So. See, every day, folks, we have to say no. Many things that we want. And that example of the new car was just, like I said, it was just thrown out there. But how many know that there's a lot of other things that are in association with that? You know, for the longest time, as my parents got old, I wanted to go, and, you know, my parents were already in their mid-80s, late 70s, and it's been since 1992. Who was born before 1992? You were not. Jesus, help her. Help her, Lord. I was only going to look at. Adrian says, you better move your eyes. Let me move because it's not me. But you know, in 1992 is when I left Merced, California. And 2001, I thought that I was supposed to go back to California, and God said no. So can I tell you, I literally had to say, God, I'm either going to be obedient to what you said no to, or I'm going to go against what you said no to. And when I finally made the decision to say yes to God, that was saying no to myself. And can I tell you, that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to make, decisions in my life. But can I tell you, that's taking up your cross. because it's not how you and I want it. When we go to Burger King, give me a Whopper with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, onions, and however we want it. And what if God says, all I want is just for you to get a plain burger, a patty, and a bun? How many know it's strange, right? You said it's strange, right? Oh, it's dry. Well, you can put a little bit of dressing on it. But what I'm saying is, how we want things to be is not how God wants us to be. And that's what Jesus was preparing his disciples. Are you still willing to follow after me? Knowing that all these things might happen. As far as I know, the only one that even after many attempts of death, John was the only one that didn't die. See, Christianity is not about believing in Jesus, but it's about you and I following after him. I was talking to a man yesterday. He said, I believe in, and I make that statement because I was talking to a man yesterday, and he said, I believe in Jesus, but I'm a combat veteran, and I can do what I want. He said, because I went to fight for this nation, if I want to smoke weed, I can smoke weed. If I want to do this, I have the right. See, he made a statement and said, I believe in Jesus, and yet every word he spoke was a curse word. Yet the actions that he was taking, you and I know that it does not correspond with how Jesus wants you and I to live. Right? We know that. But yet, he believed. And I asked him, and I said, are you willing to surrender? Oh, I got to go inside now, bro. Because when it comes to now following after Jesus, see, many people say they believe. But how much are they willing or are they wanting to follow Jesus? See, just give me, Pastor, just give me the good stuff. Don't give me the bad news. Just let me have a Christianity the way I want it. The toppings that I want. It's like one of those yogurt places that you go, you get to put this topping, that topping, that topping, here and there, here, here. But don't give me what I don't like. Just give me the things that I want. And Jesus said, it's not about believing. It's more about, are you and I going to follow Jesus? Jesus doesn't say, if you want an easier life, he calls us to follow fully. The cross was not symbolic or a piece of jewelry. You know, one of my pastors said, instead of carrying a cross, why don't you carry a tombstone on your chain? Because that's the representation about Jesus. An open tombstone where he's no longer there. But we want to have that nice chain. We want to have that nice piece of jewelry. Can I tell you, it's more than a representation of a nice piece of jewelry that we can have. It's death. It's a picture of death. It's a willingness to die to comfort, to reputation, relationships. You may be misunderstood or even rejected. I think I've told you before, all my family, they have a group text, and I'm excluded. Can I tell you, that tells me, that right there tells me, you know what? They don't want to hear what I got to say. And it doesn't bother me, because if I get in there, I'm going to tell them how it is. And then I'll have every single one of them, hey, get them out of here. So what I do is I send one by one. But I don't get offended because I'm excluded from the family group text. I count it a joy because not because I'm excluded, but because of what I say becomes an offense to them. Because all they want is a Christianity that agrees with everything they do. And that's not the Christianity I want to live, folks. How many know that? That is not the Christianity, because when I took up the cross and followed Jesus, I had to die for Jesus to live in me. Any questions, any comments, any concerns?
One, I guess this was not too long ago. They have this new phrase called, they didn't tell you the T. And I was like, what's that mean?
The what?
Well, it's the T.
The T.
I guess. No. It means gossip.
Oh.
So there was a situation where this person was going with this person, and then this person came over and was like, he didn't tell you the T? Like, I didn't say nothing? It's like, oh, I'm surprised he didn't tell you that. It's like, well, I don't really do that anymore, you know? So there, it's like that surprises you that I'm not going to go around telling everybody's business. That's gossip, you know? So that's something we have to learn how to, like, I understand, like, now, like, I really don't have anything to say. Like, our conversations are more about gossip and more about this person and this and that and that. And you realize, like, man, if I'm not lifting people, then I shouldn't even really even been saying anything, because if it's not lifting them, then it's talking about them. So
what are we doing, right?
Yeah.
So who's going to be telling, who's going to be having tea today? Nobody's going to have tea, right? Amen. You can have some good coffee. No tea. We're going to go away from the tea, glory to God. But same thing was said the other day. You know, my kids, they come and without going into any details, my daughter tells my wife, what's the temperature? My wife says, it's about 72 degrees. And then my daughter comes up and she says, Dad, what's the temperature? I was going to say, I think it climbed up to 74. But it's the same way, folks. Something inside of us has to go for Jesus to now move in. And when you and I take up the cross and follow Jesus, Jesus became a curse, remember that, so that you and I could be redeemed. And that is the most important fact and aspect of Christianity, that you and I were relieved of the curse by what Jesus did, becoming a curse for you and I. Service at 11.